from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
I'm very special today.
You are special. We were trying to locate some curd cheese for Jeff, but unfortunately we were not able to do so.
I could not, so I have to settle for festive log.
Festive
and
log.
And chocolate milk.
Yeah, you know what? You're full onto this Christmas thing. I just don't feel
I just need sugar.
Well, yeah, but you could have had any kind of sugar, but you decided on a Christmas log specifically.
That's a fat wad of sugar.
But you know what? I should call it the holiday log.
You should. The seasonal log.
Season's greetings log.
The season. Yeah, exactly. Bill O'Reilly won't like you.
You won't like me?
No, you haven't heard about that whole war on Christmas thing?
Oh, I've heard about the war on Christmas. Yeah. I've written about the war on Christmas. You see,
I know that because I visit your website, which is awesome, all the time.
I don't believe you, you son of a bitch. You know, actually, Jeff used to be, a regular listener to the podcast.
And then I betrayed him like a Judas.
you were a Judas, which is why I forced him to come to
Except
the show.
Except when I kissed you on the cheek, it was because I just couldn't resist.
Well, I have lots of that man
it's
scent.
That, it's that, that musk.
I don't like to use musk. I like man scent.
Man scent. All right. Keep it clinical.
I don't want to make it sexual. It's just man scent.
It's man scent. Very good.
Okay, so just to force Jeff to actually listen to the show again, I decided that the best way to do so was to get him back on the show. But I thought that also at the same time, he could come on and share a little bit of his story. Now, first of all, you gotta let go of the toys that are on my desk.
It's a gun. It's play.
I have a toy gun, and he can't stop looking at it. He's just, what are you, like a... You're like a raven with some shiny objects. You magpie, you can focus here.
It has a dart, man.
Like, you haven't done a radio show in a while. Hey, you try to focus on the mic. Look at this long shaft, and I want you to focus on it, okay?
I could do that.
Yeah,
but although they might not be able to hear you after a while.
Okay, let's talk about it. Let's talk a little bit about... You have a website. What's the website address?
www.downandout.ca.
And what exactly is the what's the story behind this site?
Well, the story, well, it started as there's a bit of a long story to it.
Well, we can dig the long story.
The long story?
Okay, yeah. If you like the sound of your own voice, we can dig the long
I
story.
I love the sound of my own voice.
Good. All right, let's do it.
Initially, it started with the whole Prop 8 thing. I'm sure your viewers, listeners...
Okay, well, for anybody that's not aware of it, in California, Proposition 8 was meant to repeal gay marriage.
Exactly.
And it passed with a narrow margin, and it pissed off a lot of people.
A lot of people.
Including Mr. Jeff.
Including Mr. Gay Pride Jones here.
Well, I mean, for you, you had... You know, you were still, at that time, I guess... Were you grappling with your homosexuality? Because, you know, we've known each other for how long now?
A long time.
Like 16 years, maybe?
Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Of those years, how many of those years have you been, you know...
A neurotic, depressed closet case?
Yeah.
I don't know, 15 years?
15 years and yeah, 15 and a half
15
years,
and
maybe?
A half, yeah. Well, hey, it's been a big year. So, yeah, to preface this, I came out of the closet earlier this year. Jacob was the first real live person I told.
And I was quite honored, I tell you. And, you know, just to go back to that story, you were shocked when you came to tell me. We worked together at the time, and man, oh man, I thought like he had basically had a dead relative or something like that. The shakiness, you're like, I gotta tell you something, man. I'd be like, oh shit.
Yeah,
somebody
well,
died.
It was a big
so,
deal.
Somebody did die. The old depressed
the pathetic Jeff. Yeah. Oh come on, he was pathetic. He would never put pink in his hair.
Okay, so anyways, Proposition 8 goes through.
Proposition 8 goes through. I'm super like upset about it, and the thing is I have a really close friend who lives in California who voted yes.
Okay, now try to explain for the people who are listening, why would a close friend of you vote yes?
Because she believes that marriage, or believed, I actually made it through, but she believed that marriage should be the holy union between a man and woman in the eyes of God. And as that simplified, you know, viewpoint, you know, took hold, she voted yes, and then kind of realized that she had really, really crushed her close friend, whom she had seen go from the depressed, suicidal... Suicide-y to happy. Woo. Anyways, So, so we didn't talk for a while, and the thing was, is I had a lot of anger at that, but I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know how to direct it. And we started talking, my friend and I, and we eventually patched things up, and I explained to her that it wasn't just about that, and there were rights that went along with marriage that gay couples don't get as a result, you know? Yeah. There's about 1,400, like, automatic rights when you get married that are just
1,400, really?
Something like that. There's stateside. I'd have to research it again, but it's around, like, then we're talking, there are minor rights and major rights. There's, like, hospital visitation, for example, right, and then there's, like...
Burial,
exactly. Things like that, like, domestic partnership or civil union don't allow because they're not recognized outside of their state, right?
Gotcha.
So I explained that to her, and then she kind of realized, oh, crap, it's not just a definition that this whole debate was about. And after that came through, after I had talked to her about it, and she'd actually seen, oh, holy crap, this is a monstrous vote, I can't believe I was part of that, I realized maybe I could do something sort of, I don't have enough sway or clout to change the world, I'm not an activist in any way. But I wanted to do something that sort of, you know, the best way to overcome a prejudice is to get to know someone or to get to know that person, to have that presented to you. So I did what I do, which is draw little comics. So I just did an autobiographical comic of me and my awkward coming out and...
The perpetual awkwardness that takes a while to get,
Yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff that you still... I mean, it's... it was just that little project, and I actually took a cue from this website, since I don't listen to it anymore.
Ouch.
Ouch. Kitten has claws. Anyway.
Seriously.
Oh. And I'll make it also have, like, an editorial section or a blogging section where I will discuss the rights and show this is what is going on in the gay and lesbian community, and this is how people are being affected. So it's still in its infancy now, but this is my way of sort of, you know, Prop 8 forced me to pick a side. Was it going to be the closet case and I'm just going to, you know, no one needs to know, and it'll be my dirty little secret and no one needs to know about it? Or am I going to be like, no, screw you guys. We're around, and it's not fair that we're being pushed around. And you don't like it, go away. But you know, this is there
now,
in your face.
Here's basically my question.
Yes.
The same way that there's division within atheists, I don't want to say groups, but individual atheists, most of them disagree about, you know, how atheism should be discussed or promoted, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. Now, do you think, given your current experience, is it similar within the gay community, or is there much more unity?
There is unity, and I'm not one to further draw the lines, but I have experienced a lot of... There's straight-acting gays and gay-acting gays, let's say, like the flaming people, and there's sort of a... Not for everyone, but there is this viewpoint that, you know, like, for example, why would you want gay marriage? Marriage is a straight thing. And so there's that whole view.
Oh, I see. Because they view that as a
that's
as a straight
thing.
Man's
that's what
world.
Exactly.
What do they call us? Breeders?
They call you breeders. Yes.
Breeders, right?
Breeders. Yeah. I a person. Just
I'm
for,
still in that genetic for, lottery, Mister.
Hey, I can come
I'm
in a cup.
Ouch.
But having said, just to clarify, I don't like that term. I don't believe that we need division. So I don't. It's like, haha! You call us fags. We'll call you breeders. Haha! It's like, no. How about we have a dialogue that doesn't involve name calling? This isn't a high school bus ride home.
Isn't it?
Well, I'd be sitting at the back, wouldn't I? They don't know.
Well, you do have that pink. Well, it's not even pink.
No,
like
the
purple.
Bleach didn't hold.
It's like purple.
It's like a magenta. Can we at least call it magenta?
Sure.
It's magenta.
It's magentic.
It's magenteel.
It's magenteel. Okay, so you're saying that there is kind of like a bit of a division. Do you see yourself more as educating people that are not aware of sort of like gay issues, or of kind of like, I don't know, creating a dialogue amongst every different group?
What I would like to do is just present my perspective of it and have people, you know, be exposed to how I view it. And because ideally, I would like to see everybody just sort of, you know, why can't we all just get along, for lack of
a... That's a pretty good way to put it.
Why can't we just... I mean, for example, there's still a lot for, like, transsexuals, for example, in the gay and lesbian community, there's still a bit of ostracization... segregation. What's the word? Like, there's still, wow. Like,
you know what? Like, my mouth can't make that word right now. I just realized I think I'm functioning a very little sleep. So if I try to say ostracization,
that's
not
it.
It's not it. Don't even try.
I've given up. I can wrap my tongue around a lot of things, but not that. Hey, what?
Well, whatever. If I said the same thing about what, you know,
yeah,
well, wrapping my tongue around certain other things that you don't like, you should be... Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I'd do it.
Bam!
That's what she said. Anyway, I don't know what that means. I would like to just... I don't know, I just want to do my thing, see how people react to it, and if I can reach someone or speak, you know, reflect what some people are going through, then that would be... That's enough for me. I just want to... I want to throw my hat in with the gay and lesbian community and be like, this is what I do. I'm not an activist, but this is what I can do. And hopefully people enjoy it and whatever.
Well, I think at the end of the day, you know, one of the big, I don't want to say setbacks, but one of the big problems is I think that people view it as you have to prop up this specific ideology. You know, it's kind of like a Greenpeace attitude towards environmental protection. Greenpeace is the way, we just have to go with them, and if you disagree with them, well, fuck it, just in the long run it'll help. And I think that that's a bad way of viewing it. I think that the way that we can come to an understanding about the environment, about gay rights issue, or even about religion, in my opinion at least, is being able to listen to the dialogue of 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 people, rather than just...
Well, we're all
the
individuals. We're not a mob. You know?
Exactly.
They're individuals, each with their own perspectives and stories and experiences. And we're all different, but
you're participating in the mosaic of the blog world.
The
comic
world. It's the blogosphere.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I hate to say it, but unfortunately I'm part of that damn sphere.
I know.
It's a shame. Okay, now I wanted to switch the subject a little bit, not to the...
That's
the
okay.
Site. What's the site address again?
Downandout.ca.
Okay. The one thing I wanted to talk about was actually, this was one of the articles that generated the most attention on the site. Obviously, you didn't read it, but it was an article.
This is an ambush, isn't it?
It is a bit of an ambush. Actually, it was an article on prohibitionism.
Okay.
And
the anniversary.
It was the anniversary.
Didn't read it.
Oh, well, look at you, eh? Yeah, it was the 75th anniversary. December 5th was the 75th anniversary of the repeal of prohibitionism, specifically alcohol.
Bootleg hooch,
1933 is finally when they repealed that law. Now, the reason that I had mentioned and the reason why it was really controversial is because in the article, I also mentioned the fact that I believe that there should be a repeal on prohibition for prostitution, which generated quite a bit of, you know, buzz and rhetoric and talk and number of emails, maybe some of them chastising me. And I actually wrote a follow-up, but... I wanted to talk about it specifically, and I wanted to mention it with you because I wanted to kind of like throw it back and forth here and see what you thought. Now, the reason why prostitution is a bit different, or at least people view it differently, is the fact that in places where it is legal, prostitution is still something that, you know, where there's still human trafficking going on, there's still pimping going on, there's still a number of prostitutes, you know, like a severe, you know, like a large percentage of them are immigrants, you know, they're not native to the countries that have prostitution legalized, so on and so forth. And people say, well, this is an example of exploitation, that it should be made illegal because you're encouraging it, and it means that there's going to be even more people that participate in the sex trade. Now, I want to ask your personal opinion. Do you think it's possible for prostitution to be legal and for it to be managed properly, or is it just one of those things where you're like, we can't handle that shit, we just got to make it illegal?
I don't think it should be illegal. I mean, myself, I wouldn't go to a prostitute or be a prostitute. It's not my lifestyle choice. But, I mean, I also couldn't see why anyone would want to be an architect or, like, a science teacher.
You're comparing prostitution to science teacher. That's an interesting...
No, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, if you strip it down to... If you take the For me, if you take the taboo of sex out of it,
right.
It's just another job. I mean, it's the skin trade, which it does. It is a little... But if I can remove myself from my sort of... prudish upbringing, you know.
For a moment.
It's difficult. It's very challenging. But if I can do that, and you just look at it objectively, it is a job. And I do think if it were legalized, it would be a lot safer for the women involved in it. I mean, they could actually go to police or get proper testing and proper treatments. And, I mean, if it were, you know, it would probably... If they could, and I have a disdain for the government, so I don't really know if they could pull it off, but if they could, I mean, I think we really should leave it up to the individual. And I'm a little conflicted about saying that, because objectively, I think that we should leave it up to the individual, and it's their choice and what they do. But at the same time, I do find myself thinking that's a little icky.
Well, you know,
I'm a little torn.
I think that the reason why a lot of people are torn about this is that, unlike drug legislation, which we can manage
or architecture,
we can manage drug prohibitionism a lot better because we have, you know, we have experience with it. I mean, alcohol and tobacco are legal. They've been legal for a long time, and we're pretty good at, you know, at controlling it. I mean, how many people do you know grow tobacco leaves in their backyards to make their own tobacco? I mean, it's all manufactured. And it's manufactured...
I only know five guys that do that.
I think it's manufactured that, you know, like how it is now conspicuous consumption makes it so that it's not morally taboo anymore. Right. I think the problem when you move towards legalizing prostitution is because the attitude doesn't change. Just the law does.
Yeah.
So the attitude that something is still icky or
wrong, exactly.
And you're allowed to treat a person
sex.
Like an object.
Yeah.
You.
Exactly.
But also, ironically, is what the appeal is at the same time. I mean, think about this. What is the general appeal for non-smokers about smoking? What is the appeal? There's no appeal. Like, who wants to get addicted to an expensive drug that doesn't even give you a great high? You're like, fuck that, right? I mean, most people who get addicted to smoking, they get addicted when they're young. They think that it's cool or whatever. But when you're an adult, you're like, I don't want to smoke.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I didn't get addicted when I was 16. I don't need this.
Exactly. So, the again, I mean, it has to do with sort of like this attitude. But the reason it's popular when you're young is you smoke it because... it's anti-authoritarian to do so. You want to rebel against your parents and so on and so forth. So the appeal of prostitution is I get to, you know, control another individual to have sex. So there's that element. Or it's wrong and bad and evil and I'm getting away with it. And in a way, it's legislation. Making it legal doesn't remove that. So, I mean, the more I've been trying to think about a way to justify it, because I am kind of an anti-prohibitionist, how does one justify this? And the answer to that is, well, it may not change the prevailing attitude over one generation or over two or over three generations.
Yeah.
But the way that I figure it is that you're right. I think people should have that choice. Now, even if it meant that there was the same amount of human trafficking going on in slave trading, which is true for anybody that any country that still has it legalized, it doesn't change those numbers. And I'm like, why do we need to add to the victim list?
Yeah.
Why do we need to put more people in jail just simply because they want to, you know, charge money for a blowjob? Like, I'm not buying, but somebody is, and somebody always will. It always has. I think that's the thing about prostitution.
Wasn't it the
second oldest profession is what it's called.
The second oldest profession.
Well, you need one profession before it. Farming. And then you can sleep with a farmer. For crops, I suppose that's why it's the second oldest profession.
There we go. We'll go with that. It makes sense.
Now, I had a thought that another kind of crazy thought. This is the tinfoil hat thought that I wanted to share, and I wanted to, you know, because I've been thinking about this all day, but I've been isolated in my own place.
Yeah, you've got a cabin
gone.
Fever going, don't you?
Cabin fever. Yeah. So I've been going a little bit nuts, and I was thinking about this idea of why drugs and why sex is actually prohibited. Now, the reason I think it actually is now, maybe not the reason why it was, but the reason why it remains illegal, in my mind, is because we need something to incarcerate people. We need to find a way to put as many people in jail because...
You have a Twilight Zone
check this out. I think you're going to appreciate this. And the reason I say this is because violent crime in North America has been on the decline since the 1990s, but the prison population has actually risen. Now, this is because the majority of people in prison are there due to either drug possessions or, you know, what we would consider minor felonies.
Right.
Now, my whole thing is a lot of society is contingent on a particular level of fear. You buy an alarm for your house because you are afraid. Now, are you afraid of your neighbor? Obviously not. You're afraid of the roaming drug addict stranger that's going to come over and steal,
throw a garbage can through your window,
rape your daughters and all this other kind of stuff, right? But imagine if there wasn't, if drugs were made legal and rather than incarcerate people, you actually tried to give them treatment. What would happen to that fear that you have about all of these people that are in jail? I think it would fade. I think it would disappear, and then all of a sudden, once you're no longer afraid, you begin to not be too happy about the rights and privileges that your government is slowly taking away from you. Because consider how much they do that in order for the illusion of protection.
That's true.
Is a law,
it's for your own good.
Yeah, it's for your own good, right? And a law, is a law created for to prevent you from doing something? Or is it just meant to punish people that were already committing this act? Like, if I make drug use illegal, there's already individuals that are participating in this drug. So now all of a sudden, I've gone from having no criminals to having 100 million criminals in the case.
College campuses full of criminals.
Exactly. And I think that there's another reason to it as well. Is that as much as we participate in some of that illegal activity, because everybody tries an illegal drug once in a while. I don't care what the hell it is. Marijuana, cocaine, ecstasy, whatever. Everybody's going to try it once. And in that sense, everyone is a criminal once. So it kind of makes you a little bit more sheepish, doesn't it? Because you have a dark side. You have a part that can be exploited, being like, Mr. Clinton, did you smoke that marijuana? You know what I mean? Like a little bit of an exploited side. So that if I can police moral behavior, that's behavior that I can later use against somebody. This is my tinfoil hat theory. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I think there...
It's difficult to...
Well, I think you present an interesting point, but it almost borders on conspiracy theory-ish.
Well, let me set the record straight. I don't think that it's meant to do that. It's not like a person said, if we
I'm sure that
make
has
this illegal...
I'm sure it has that effect on people. I mean, just look at where some people... some criminal behavior is, you know, in... this is falling apart right out of my mouth.
You can do it. Just
okay. If you look at, like, some countries that have different rights, the countries that... have certain rights or seem to be more outraged than the countries that lose those rights. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's why we're, for example, fighting for, you know, the rights in third world countries, or, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe I'm just saying, I'm kind of grasping at straws because I'm also kind of sleep deprived.
Okay. So what you're basically trying to say is that,
yes.
All right. Well, I'm glad that we got that straightened out.
Point counterpoint.
Yeah, that was a serious point counterpoint. Okay. No, I don't think that this is a malevolent activity on the part of either large corporations.
It's not
or,
big brotherism.
Yeah, it's not big brotherism or anything else like that. But, you know, I've been thinking seriously about the types of messages that drug prohibitionists sort of put out there. And the idea is, you know, when I was a kid, I believed in those ideas that, you know, say, smoking pot was going to make you into a...
That's what killed Jim Belushi.
Yeah, right. Or it was going to make you a layabout that couldn't accomplish anything in your life. And it was the same for all drugs.
Yeah.
But the thing was, and the reason I felt betrayed is that because a lot of the drugs that they make illegal, they don't really have that effect. Like, you know, if you look at the scale of the worst drugs in terms of their addictive qualities and their effect on your body, one of the least dangerous drugs is ecstasy. And, you know, you say that and all of a sudden a person can be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Ecstasy is a dangerous drug, right? That's what everybody believes. But it's a fucking lie. Now, I'm not going to tell you to go out and do ecstasy. That's not what I'm fucking saying. But what I'm saying is, compared to alcohol and tobacco, the two largest killers, and they're large killers not because necessarily because of their distribution, you know, because marijuana, for instance, is consumed by 1/3 of adults in the U.S., and it doesn't have any fucking deaths associated with it. But those other drugs are very serious and have very serious health consequences. So it's not that you're being protected from drugs because they're harmful. It's, you know, that is fucking infantile way of viewing it.
Isn't alcohol much worse side effect wise, like liver and
alcohol is pretty bad for your body, and it also has much more addictive qualities than even cannabis, for instance. And ecstasy doesn't seem to have any real or minor addictive qualities. But there was a documentary I watched called "Is Ecstasy More Dangerous Than Alcohol?" And the overwhelming answer was that no, it wasn't. And yet, I mean, you look at alcohol consumption behavior in a lot of countries, you know, with binge drinking and alcoholism and stuff like that. And you're like, this is a serious, serious drug. But when I was a kid, I didn't see it as a drug. I saw marijuana as a drug. I saw all these other illegal things. These were classified in my mind as drugs.
Yeah.
So I believed in that, what my government was telling me. But I felt betrayed when I, you know, went out and experimented a little bit on my own. And I think that part what happens that and why it's dangerous to lie to your population is that think about a person who tries ecstasy and who realizes that, oh, you know, that there's no addictive quality. They might think that everything they've been told about drugs is a lie. And then they figure, oh, well, why should I try cocaine?
Happening.
I can try heroin and handle it. I tried ecstasy and here it is.
They
one
said
of the
ecstasy
most
would
drug.
Do, yeah, yeah. Okay, I can see that.
Right, so I think that what happens is that when you infantilize your population, when it comes to that information, they don't make the right decisions. They make wrong choices. You should be scared of heroin. It's a fucking scary drug. Cocaine is a scary drug. It's addictive. It is, and it's really ravenous to your body. So I guess my point is that although you can have the feeling that you're protecting someone, so you're like, drugs are bad. Okay, we're going to protect people against that. That's the original intent. But what happens is that over time, it becomes a control mechanism. And what are you supposed to do? If I was to tell you or show you a study, and you're in the government, that ecstasy is less dangerous than alcohol, what are you supposed to do about either alcohol or ecstasy? What can you do? Because you've been telling one particular side of the story, and now I'm saying, scientifically, you're wrong.
You can't flip it. You can't turn it on its back and just be like, you know what? Just transpose.
Be like, I guess we have ecstasy bars now. Who wants to do eat a bar? I don't know. I guess I've been really pondering. Ever since that, I'm telling you, ever since the beginning of December, prohibitionism in general has been in my brain. It's been fucking stewing. I've been trying to figure it out. How can I make sense of prohibition? Because you know what? It doesn't make sense. When
I think it's just an arbitrary rule.
I mean, a lot of it is arbitrary.
A long time ago decided it was bad, and so it was bad.
It wasn't even a long time ago. In the case of prostitution, I think not until the 1920s was prostitution illegal.
You do remember that history and I, we don't.
Right, it's like me in geography. Oh. I've been embarrassed many times.
I remember. I was there for that one. I was there.
You were there.
Memories.
All right. Well, is there anything else that that we wanted to discuss about prohibitionism?
No, I think that
pretty much sums it up. Okay, good. We'll keep the show short. I recommend people should go and check out. Now, I know that you're not saying that you're trying to promote it, or you have no commercial purpose for it.
Well, it's still very much in its infancy, so people who go there right now are going to be like, there's like two entries. What the hell?
Yeah, so it's very early in it.
I'll pretty it up, trust me.
Well, you know, I'm
if anyone knows anything about designs, it's us.
What?
I don't know.
That makes
If I get all the bad stereotypes, can I get the good ones?
Yes, I'm going to give you those. All right, let's go enjoy that sugar log. Festive holiday log, yeah, because sugar log just sounds like I'm just going to go...
Yeah, it just sounds... Yeah.
A Christmas dump. I'm going to go drop a sugar log.
Oh, that's the after picture right there.
Yeah, sugar log with some chocolate milk. That's like that gross
that's
chaser.
A recipe for...
You know what that is? That's what happens when you go to Mexico. Guantanamo Bay?
I don't know.
You know what? Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, it's been a long day.
It's been a long day. Okay, well, hopefully next week I can... not next week, because I'm going to be off. I'm actually going to be in the country Christmas, that kind of stuff. So after Christmas, on hopefully close to New Year's. I'm going to have another show for everybody.
Am I coming back or is Ryan back then?
No, you can come back. In fact, I was thinking that we could do a show specifically about resolutions. You know, kind of like amusing resolutions that that everybody should have. And there's one
thing. Give me a chance to research it. So I'm not saying things like Guantanamo Bay.
Right, give you a
out
chance.
Of nowhere.
And I also wanted to try a feature, and I'm gonna put that up for the week, is that I wanted to try to introduce a mailbag portion. Now, not necessarily a monthly thing, but I think that there's quite a few fans out there that would like to ask some questions, and we can try to answer them. I think that'd be a lot of fun.
Give it a shot.
So we'll give that a shot, and if that fails utterly, then we'll have a backup.
Just blame me. I'll come back next year when it's all forgotten.
Yeah, well, you're not going to be back until next year if you fuck up. That's basically what I'm saying.
Oh, man, pressure's on.
Pressure's on.
All performance right. Anxiety.
All right, with that, my name is Jacob Forte, and I'd like to thank my guest, Mr. Jeffrey Jones.
Woo-hoo.
And please visit his site. Give him positive feedback, everybody. He needs positive
feedback.
Stroke his ego.